Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Circuit tied cities' hands by constitutionalizing the policy debate over how to address growing encampments. It's holding that the Eighth Amendment bars Grants Pass from enforcing its camping laws is wrong for three reasons. First, the cruel and unusual punishments clause governs which punishments are permitted, not what conduct can be prohibited.
This is Theanne Evangelist. I know it's a cool name. She is the attorney representing the city of Grants Pass in Oregon. This case I told you about yesterday and previously that is very important for the state of Florida, for the city of Pensacola, for really the entire nation that is wrestling with this problem of how to deal with out-of-control homelessness and, you know, how to regulate camping. Can we regulate camping overnight? Stays, campsites, you know, all of that stuff. Of course, remember, Florida is sitting on a law that will go into effect in October that makes it illegal for a city to allow overnight camping in public areas, meaning that if people are sleeping in parks, the city has to stop that. And if they do not stop that, can actually have a cause of action against the city for negligence in their duty to evict homeless people from public areas, and then you are allowed to create a space where they can camp, and then you have to provide like security and, you know, running water and toilets and all of that kind of stuff. So that goes into effect in October. Of course, Pensacola has had a I came here after we had already dealt with the blanket ban. Remember the blanket ban? It was illegal to give homeless people a blanket. Do you remember this? Like this, God, what, 2013, something like that? And, again, it's kind of right before my time here. But so anyway, that was, you know, Pensacola's effort. In Grants Pass, it's somewhat similar. You can't use a blanket to sleep overnight. You can't use a tent. You can't use a device. You can't sleep in your car overnight. I mean, all kinds of stuff that they have done to try to clamp down on, you know, their out-of-control homeless population. So this is the lawyer for the city trying to explain that, look, the Eighth Amendment tells you which kind of punishments are excessive. That's what it deals with. You know, nor shall cruel and unusual punishment, right? That's the phrase in the Eighth Amendment. And so it tells you that a cruel and unusual punishment is prohibited. It doesn't tell you that this kind of crime can't be targeted. And so it's not really relevant here is one argument. A second argument or a second issue.
Second, no precedent supports the Ninth Circuit's rule. Respondents in the United States abandon its reliance on Powell. Instead, they misread Robinson to bar any punishment for involuntary conduct that's linked to a status. But Robinson held only that states cannot outlaw the status of drug addiction. It made clear that they can prohibit conduct like drug use. This court should not rewrite Robinson six decades later.
Okay, this is one of the central issues in the case. It's a case you've probably never heard about. It's a precedent called Robinson, and it had to do with the state of California having a law saying that you cannot be a drug addict and be in California. And you say, well, how can you make being a drug addict illegal? That's the condition of wanting to use drugs. That's different from using drugs. And that was the whole case. The Supreme Court said, you've outlawed a status. You've made it illegal for people to be addicted to drugs, which is an understandable thing that you wouldn't want drug addicts in your state, but people can't unwant drugs. And therefore, it's a status, and you cannot have laws that punish a status under the Eighth Amendment. Now, I personally find that argument to be a bit tortured because, again, the cruel and unusual punishment. But that's what the Supreme Court held. Okay, that's the precedent that is relevant in this case. You can punish people for using drugs. You can't punish people for the condition of wanting to use drugs. That was the ruling. So in this case, a lot of the debate, I mean, the central issue in this case is, whether sleeping overnight with a blanket or sleeping overnight with cardboard or sleeping overnight with a pillow or sleeping overnight with a car, you know, various forms of technology, devices, you might say, that you would use to assist you in sleeping overnight. Whether you can criminalize that behavior or whether that behavior is really just the same as being homeless. Because if sleeping overnight in a public area is just what it means to be homeless, because how could you be homeless and not sleep out in a public area overnight? I mean, if you have a place to sleep, then you're not homeless. That's the argument here. Well, then you're criminalizing the status of being homeless, not the activity of a homeless person who chooses, for example, to break a shop window to steal a loaf of bread. That would be criminalizing an action that not all homeless people engage in. But all homeless people engage in sleeping outside, not on their own property. That's sort of the general gist here. So Clarence Thomas, who doesn't ask a lot of questions, but usually when he asks them, they're pretty pointed.
Have we ever applied the Eighth Amendment to civil penalties?
Not the cruel and unusual punishments clause, no.
I think that might be really relevant because sometimes what the court decides to do is to not answer a question exactly and, you know, say that it's you don't have standing or say that it doesn't merit the sort of review that they're asking or send it back for reconsideration. There's all kinds of things the Supreme Court can do other than actually answer the question. And in this case, it looks like Clarence Thomas wants to punt. What he wants to say is, isn't this case all about people getting fines? Yes. Even though the ordinance allows them eventually to be thrown into jail if they refuse to pay the fines or cannot pay the fines. But the people in this particular case were not thrown in jail. They were just fined for sleeping in their car. So, okay, he says, well, the cruel and unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment, isn't that about criminal charges? Yes. Has it ever been used with civil citations like this? No. Okay. We're done. Like, that's I think, where he wants to be on this. But, you know, there's a lot more conversation to be had. Justice Roberts.
What will the city do if you don't prevail here?
The city's hands will be tied. It will be forced to surrender its public spaces as it has been. Unfortunately, beds are going unused at the Gospel Rescue Mission. People are not getting the help that they need.
And that's the argument that the city is making. The city is claiming that it's not here to just punish people for being homeless or make them go down the road, you know, go farther down I-5, deal with other towns, right? I-5 is the interstate that runs through Grants Pass. Because I used to live there. Anyway, you know, just go somewhere else. No, they want to help the homeless people. And right now, under the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that stays this law, the homeless people aren't even going to the shelters because they don't gotta. They can't make them go to the shelter. See, part of the argument in this case is, look, you've got, the numbers were a little bit fuzzy, but let's say you've got 500 homeless people in Grants Pass, and you've got 100 beds in the shelter. Well, how can you tell them to get out of the park when you don't have a place you can send them to? A issue in the enforcement of the Florida law, too, right? You can't logically tell them, hey, get out from the train trestle and the forest and, you know, the yard that nobody's using and go over here where there's no over here to go to. Like, there's no shelter. That's why the creation of the public camp space has been part of that Florida law. Okay, so in Oregon, you know, what are you going to do if you can't prevail? Well, right now we can't even help these people. If we had enough beds, we maybe have a different case because you could tell them, you can't be here, but we'll let you go over here. If you tell them you can't be here and there's nowhere for you to go, that starts to, again, look like they're criminalizing homelessness and, you know, being cruel and unusual in punishing people for the status of being homeless rather than for a choice. Because if they don't have somewhere to go, then there is no choice. Sonia Sotomayor arguing with Evangelist about this issue and who winds up getting arrested or at least charged under this law.
Which is, if you read the crime, it's only stopping you from sleeping in public if you, for the purpose of maintaining a temporary place to live. And the police officers testified that that means that if a stargazer wants to take a blanket or a sleeping bag out at night to watch the stars and falls asleep, you don't arrest them. You don't arrest babies who have blankets over them. You don't arrest people who are sleeping on the beach, as I tend to do if I've been there a while.
Same.
You only arrest people who don't have a second home. Is that correct?
Well,
who don't have a home.
So, no, these laws are generally applicable. They apply to
everyone. That's what you want to say. Give me one example, because your police officers couldn't. And they explicitly said, if someone has another home, has a home, and is out there and happens to fall asleep, they won't be arrested. Fall asleep with something on them.
And even if it's not in the statute itself, if enforcement of the statute is only against people who are homeless and therefore not against the behavior itself, as the example she gave, well, then again, it looks like you're using this against people of a certain category and not using it to prohibit a certain kind of behavior. And this is when we've talked about this previously, and I told you, I said, you know, if a dude is on lunch break from his law practice, he goes to the park and he sits down and he falls asleep, criminal? Well, no, he's a lawyer who happens to be asleep on a park bench. Homeless dude with, you know, his blanket or his newspaper and his shopping cart full of crap goes to the same park and lays down on the bench and falls asleep. Crime? Oh, yeah, can't have that. And that's the problem in this case and in general with these kinds of cases is nobody minds the ordinary homeowner citizen who's got resources going and sleeping in a public place because we all have done that. And you don't consider that a crime. You just consider that going to a park. But when a homeless person does it and they fall asleep there and they do it day after day for hours at a time, you're like, no, we cannot have that. And that's a fair concern because we don't want that. Why? Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of answers to that question. Because there's trash. Because they poop and pee. Because they make us feel unsafe taking our kids there, like the old park at Brent and Palafox that is now no longer being used because they're building a tax collector's office, right? I mean, there's lots of answers to this question. There's crime, there's drugs, there's needles, there's all kinds of inappropriate behavior. Okay, but all of that stuff is kind of illegal to begin with, right? And so what we're really trying to prevent is the precursor to that, which is the sleeping in the public place by somebody who doesn't have a home. And the irony here is, you're wanting to, the normal, ordinary person looking at a case like this, understanding all the issues, in their heads usually said something like this. If somebody's a regular citizen, I don't really want to punish them for this. If somebody is a homeless person, I kind of do want to prevent this from happening. Which, if you recharacterize that, what you're really saying is, when somebody has a house, I don't mind them sleeping in a park. When somebody doesn't have a house, I don't want them sleeping in a park. And the more out loud you say it, the dumber that becomes because what you're really saying is that the people who do not need to sleep in the park, we're going to let them do it. The people who do need to sleep in the park, oh, hell no. That's where it starts to look like criminalizing homelessness. So I don't know. The reporting on this case, I listened to the whole oral arguments yesterday because it's what I do. And The analysis that they're likely to uphold this, I'm not sure. Clearly, the three more liberal judges, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they clearly think that this is appropriate, that you know, the law should not be put into place, and the homeless people have an entitlement to public allowance, basically, to be people, okay? And I think that's a very understandable position to have. The question is not going to be whether that's an understandable position. It's going to be whether the Eighth Amendment requires that. That's a very difficult line of reasoning. Other justices, I'll just be honest, in listening to the oral arguments, I'm not clear where any of the other justices fall. They were all asking very interesting questions. I think the court might be split in the end on this. I think they might disagree about whether it's an Eighth Amendment issue or actually a 14th Amendment issue, you know, a due process question, you know, under the 14th Amendment. I don't know, okay? I'm not sure where it's going to go. But this raises questions that are relevant to Florida with our pending law. And more importantly to me, what this case does, almost regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, is I think the case forces you to think about, are my attitudes about the homeless consistent? Am I thinking clearly about this? Because one of the things that came up quite a bit yesterday in sort of, you know, secondary and tertiary level discussions was things like, well, what about urinating and defecating in public? We tend to say, no, that's not allowed for very understandable reasons. It's gross and it's a health hazard. But then when you start to think about it, if sleeping overnight is kind of a, every homeless person does that because it's a basic human bodily need to sleep, well, I mean, the other stuff is too. And if you tell somebody, can't be here, you know, at a certain point, like, you're basically telling people you can't be a person. Because everybody pees. And one of the, I mean, if we're honest, one of the big definitions of being a homeowner or a renter or having a place to stay is you have a place to pee. You don't think about it that way. But trust me, homeless people think about it that way because they don't. Am I advocating that we ought to let them just go anywhere they want? No, I'm saying we don't think clearly about this issue. And part of the process of getting to societal solutions to problems is thinking clearly about issues. And that's why I think this case is valuable for us to at least consider. 525 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
And tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
I've been digging the deep cuts off of the old Pat Benatar albums. I've been going back and listening, and, you know, sometimes you go back and listen to an artist that you like some of their stuff, or in her case, you know, a lot of her stuff, and then you go back and you listen to the whole albums like you've never done before, and you're like, there's a reason the hits were the hits. And then you're like, with other people, you think, oh, man, you know, my whole life I've been not listening to this. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, former President Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes again this morning in New York. Today, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker will be back on the stand.
I made you laugh. But just by laughing, I made you laugh. By the way, I thought you said he was the lawyer yesterday. I misunderstood you. I didn't realize he was the
he's a witness,
the National Enquirer publisher or whatever. Still funny.
Still funny. It is. Yeah, I can't say it now without laughing.
No, you
can't. Thank you for that.
The Daily Show did a whole bit on this last night, too. So, you know.
And also last night, New York police made several arrests, broke up a pro-Palestinian demonstration at New York University in Manhattan. There was a group of hundreds and hundreds, about 400 or so protesters there. They gave them a deadline to disperse and then ended up making a few dozen arrests. I believe some of those were even faculty members at NYU.
It's amazing. I mean, it really. And by the way, I think Columbia hasn't. They've now gone to remote learning for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
They've just. Yeah. We're done. We're not doing this anymore, which I understand given the circumstances of the protests there. But my goodness. You know, protesters have shut down a school basically and put them on the internet, which is amazing. So, I'm sorry. Was that your last one? Were you done?
Yep. That's all we've got for now.
Fair enough. Well, he'll have more news coming up in a minute. Check out that. It'll be good.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Heavy police presence this morning on the campus of Yale University following anti-Israeli protests Monday.
The New Haven Police Department says 47 anti-Israel protesters were arrested. The university saying, quote, students who were arrested also will be referred for Yale disciplinary action, which includes a range of sanctions such as reprimand, probation, or suspension.
Fox's Todd Pryor on the campus in New Haven, Connecticut. Unrest at NYU and Columbia on Monday, too, while the president of Columbia facing bipartisan calls to step down, New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney.
You know, if this president can't maintain the peace, she has to be eliminated, or she has to be fired. And, you know, these students have to be expelled. These faculty have to be fired.
The Republican earlier on Fox and Friends First, and more testimony in Donald Trump's hush money trial later this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 51 degrees. It is mostly clear right now in Pensacola. Well, if you were at yesterday's Escambia County Commission meeting, you were treated to a bit of a show, courtesy of Commissioners Jeff Bergosh and Mike Kohler. That started during a discussion over whether the county should pay $5,000 in legal fees to former EMS employee Catherine Kenny. Ultimately, the board did vote 3-1 in favor of that. Kenny had been accused of falsifying training records, however, agreed to pre-trial diversion settlement with the Department of Health. Kohler disagreed with paying the fees, said he'd write letters to the DOH and the governor's office over why no Escambia County commissioner was held accountable.
Okay, you can write another letter if you want. Write some to the state attorney, make baseless allegations. But when you write that letter to the governor, maybe you ought to self-report yourself. When you got on this board, you got drunk one night and called each of us, and I had to save you from a sunshine law violation. Have him investigate that. You called each member of this board.
And Kohler followed up with his own accusations that Bergosh had called him up to discuss votes while at Seville Quarter. A Pensacola couple now wondering what next after a devastating house fire near downtown last week. The home on Palafox was built in 1906. It was bought 2 years ago by Chloe Kelly and her husband. They were in the process of renovating this home about a month away from moving in. And that was until last Friday's fire caused extensive damage.
We're at a loss of where to go from here. We've poured everything into this home, and unfortunately we just don't have the financial means by ourselves to go and rebuild it.
And to make the situation worse, the couple's insurance company had dropped them just a few months ago. They were in the process of looking for a new insurance company. They've set up a GoFundMe looking for help on that. The Florida High School Athletic Association considering a plan to sanction competitive video gaming.
Yeah, the organization met in Gainesville yesterday to discuss the potential interest of offering esports programs. They reviewed results of a recent survey that went out to more than 400 schools, and more than half showed interest. Nearly two dozen states have already sanctioned esports in their schools, and that includes Alabama and Georgia. The FHSAA says it's still in the early stages of that process. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much for that update, Joe. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing $500 million in funding for restoration of Florida's Everglades and water quality improvements yesterday. He says that investment will benefit the state for decades to come. DeSantis says this brings Florida's total investment in Everglades restoration to a record-breaking $6.5 billion. Since he took office, he also says he made a promise to Floridians that we would leave this state better than we found it. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a beautiful sunny day today with temperature warming up near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. Nice sunny weather continues for Wednesday with a high near 78. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Beautiful and sunny for Thursday with a high near 78 and a low near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 51 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 45 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. United Health Group said it paid ransom to cyber threat actors to try and protect patient data following the February cyber attack on its subsidiary, Change Healthcare. The company did not specify the ransom payment amount, but did confirm that files containing personal information were compromised in the breach. The fallout from the attack had left many doctors without a way to fill prescriptions or get paid for their services. Officials have begun building a new high-speed rail system that will connect Southern California and Las Vegas. The Brightline West system will reach speeds of 200 miles per hour across a 218-mile route. Brightline West aims for the new high-speed rail system to be operational in 2028 and is expected to have an over $10 billion economic impact. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 253, the NASDAQ gained 169, and the S&P 500 up 43. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I just want to know who's ever going to be responsible for this, because in the current environment we're in, no one is. And the only people getting hurt up here is the citizens of Scambia County.
Incorrect.
Hey, I'm talking.
Yep.
You just
Mike,
told me it's
Mike
my turn.
Mike has the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate the respect. Only people getting hurt in this county behind this is the taxpayers. You're going to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars because this man's vindictive behavior against people, and it's enough. Enough. We can't afford it.
That's Commissioner Mike Kohler, District 2 in Escambia County. The man's vindictive behavior is Jeff Bergosh that he's talking about there. And this is all surrounding the payment of various monies to people who had been alleged to have engaged in misconduct in EMS years ago. And there's all kinds of various dispositions of these cases. The one yesterday was a $5,000 payment to a former employee, and they were disagreeing about it, as they do. Jeff Bergosh has, for reasons that honestly still to this day mystify me, always taken up for the people who were accused and against, I mean, if you want to think of it this way, Ramey Adler, the former medical director. But he's always sure that these people didn't do anything wrong and they were just the innocent victims of some scheme by her. I mean, I have my own theories about why that's the case. I think he's pretty much every time he gets this wrong, and this is no exception to that rule. But the issue in this case is that he's been saying they ought to make the payments, and Mike Kohler, who is the actual medical professional on the board and, you know, says, are you crazy? Why are we paying for these people and the things that they did wrong? And so, you know, Jeff says we should pay, and Mike says we should not pay, and says that you're costing the taxpayers money because of your vindictiveness, and your, you know, and so Jeff tries to interrupt him, and he says, which he had interrupted Jeff previously, and, you know, who's got the floor? Well, only one person has the floor. So, again, Jeff Bergosh's response to all of this.
All right. I'm not vindictive when I stand up for first responders. There were six of them. Six of them that got the finger pointed at them. You talk about vindictive reasons. You weren't here. You don't know. You're ignorant. You're glib. I'll tell you what happened. Someone didn't like something they thought they overheard. Sounds like a theme. And then she went after people she didn't like. And guess what? Five of those six had everything, nothing. They weren't charged with anything. They had their lives turned upside down. They had to pay their own lawyers. And now we're cleaning up the mess. So that's what really happened here.
I'm not sure that's a 100% accurate description of the case. If you go back and read the reporting from the time, you know, the PNJ, Jim Little doing a pretty good article about this and, you know, writing that in March of 2020, Kenny, that's the woman that they're talking about, she was charged with 11 felony counts and 4 misdemeanor counts related to falsifying documents. One misdemeanor count was dropped in April of 2020. I'm actually reading from the PNJ article from September of 21. In a hearing Thursday, one count of racketeering against Kenny was dismissed completely. She will enter a one-year pretrial diversion program next week. When completed, the 13 counts against her will be dismissed. So he says what again?
Those six had everything, nothing. They weren't charged with anything. They had their lives turned upside down. They had to pay their own lawyers. And now we're cleaning up the mess. So that's what really happened here.
Well, I mean, either Bergosh is right that nobody was charged with anything, or the PNJ is right that she was charged. And that because she entered a diversion program, eventually the counts were all dismissed as part of the plea deal. But, you know, I know words can get past a person in the heat of the moment. And Mike Kohler's response?
All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We never wrote to the Department of Health on this board and asked them why their investigation process was so screwed up and we're so right. So I'll do that letter and ask the governor why his department was so wrong and this board is so right that they find us and no one on our board is held accountable. Nobody. I'm sorry, that's just the facts. And so if no one here had the courage to say the investigative process was wrong, nobody.
Which the board has been acting as if the investigative process was wrong and in paying these things, even though the board, you know, Escambia County settled with the Department of Health in May of 2020, paying a $5,000 fine and accepting a letter of reprimand. Again, I'm just reading from the PNJ article, you know, don't argue with me. And accepting a letter of reprimand on the county's license to operate an EMS service in the state. So the county accepted blame, accepted a reprimand letter, had to pay a fine, and yet consistently again and again in these cases when offered the chance to give money to the people in the case about which Escambia County accepted a letter of reprimand and a fine, Commissioner Bergosh keeps paying them and getting the votes of enough other commissioners to go ahead and authorize those payments, and not Mike Kohler. He's the one who dissents on the board. And so he's saying, look, if we're so right and the investigators at the state are so wrong, well, the governor ought to know that their investigative arm is so wrong. And, you know, we ought to write a letter to them to explain why, you know, they're wrong and we're right. That's the question that he's raising. you know, you keep saying they're wrong. Well, let's find out if they're wrong. Let's find out if that's right. This is where it all goes off the rails a little bit.
All right, you're going to write a letter to the governor because you want people held accountable? When you write, okay, you can write another letter if you want. Write some to the state attorney, make baseless allegations. But when you write that letter to the governor, maybe you ought to self-report yourself. When you got on this board, you got drunk one night and called each of us. And I had to save you from a sunshine law violation. Have him investigate that. You called each member of this board. Yeah. So when you put your letter to the governor, maybe send one to the state attorney and have him investigate you for trying to commit a sunshine violation. When you got drunk one night and you called me, we'll look it up.
Is somebody jealous that we don't cover the Escambia Commission like we cover Santa Rosa and Milton? Commissioner, are you jealous of the negative coverage? You want, pay attention to me. I have a blog. Pay attention to me. We have more drama here. Come on. It's funny. When we don't pay attention to them, they get upset. And when we do pay attention to them, they get upset. And it's just, what does this have to do with anything? Even imagining everything Commissioner Bergosh is saying is true. I mean, which is a lot to grant, okay? Even imagining everything is true. What does this have to do with the letter to the state to ask them about the investigation about this old EMS case? The answer is nothing. Because this is one of Commissioner Bergosh's favorite tactics. Distract, obfuscate, bring up irrelevant things. Fire here. No, fire's over there. You know, like, what does this have to do? This is amazing. Oh, but Mike Kohler, it gets better. Like, that was just like the part one, right? I don't have theme music for Escambia County. I've really tried to think about, like, what could I use as the stage or theme music for Escambia County, and I've never come up with an answer that I was happy with. And people have always given me lots of suggestions. What about the Benny Hill music? Yeah, I don't know, doesn't quite care. What about Bring in the Clowns? It doesn't quite. You know, like, every time somebody gives me a suggestion, it's not that they're terrible suggestions, it's just that they don't quite capture the zeitgeist of the thing, you know, like the drama in Days of Our Milton captures Milton, or the Buona Fortuna captures the Santa Rosa County. I'm very dissatisfied with the fact that I have not yet managed to find good stager music for Escambia County. I'm going to keep trying. And I guess if you have an idea, text me 437-1620, because I want to have one. I wish I had one today, because today's a perfect opportunity to use stager music. Nevertheless, okay, so Jeff says Mike got drunk and called him and tried to engage in a sunshine violation, and Jeff Bergosh, said, no, we can't talk about this. Let's text. sorry, that was cheap. This is a cheap shot. 437-1620. He didn't say that. That's a joke. Anyway, but here's what Mike Kohler responded.
Hey, Jeff, and I told you. I saved
you
from yourself.
If you want to go down in the gutter, we'll go ahead and do that when you threaten
me. No,
I'm
telling
you
the truth.
Drinking beer because I wouldn't vote for you, and you told me you had the votes. Remember that?
That's a lie. That never happened.
Mine's a lie. He's right. But that's actually what happened. You had your phone on while you at Seville while you were telling me because I didn't vote for
you. I've got a phone record of you calling me.
You have a phone record of being at Seville Quarter where you said,
no,
I have the votes?
Nope.
Oh, come on, man. See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no,
you make up allegations. Do whatever report you want on me.
No, you're the one writing letters. Go send her a letter.
I know dang well, Keith, what you said, and you do
go
too.
Send a letter.
Have a seat.
Go send a letter.
Have
this
a seat.
This is derangement.
Have a seat.
This is the derangement.
Keith, have a seat. Have a seat. All right.
Kristen,
okay.
Can you kind of give us a clarification of this case?
That's Lumen May. Can anybody explain what's actually happening here to me? So I think if you try to pull out the facts there, I think what Commissioner Bergosh was saying is that he has the alleged phone record of Mike calling him and trying to engage in a sunshine violation and being inebriated. I'm not sure how you'd have the phone record, maybe of the call. I'm not sure you'd have the record of the other allegations. And then when he says, I've got the record, what Mike misunderstood him as saying was that he had the record of the time when they were at Seville, I guess, where he alleges that Jeff Bergosh told him he had the votes for something, which, you know, that was not what he meant. So in any case, everybody's drinking. Allegedly, everybody's calling each other allegedly or talking to each other about sunshine related things. And what does this have to do with the EMS case? Well, nothing. I mean, it has nothing to do with that. It's just petty personal bickering, which, again, are you guys jealous that we're not, you know, that why does Santa Rosa get all the attention? Is that what's going on here? So that's your Escambia County Commission right now. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative. There are elections this year, by the way. Just just a reminder, there are elections this year. Three out of the five, well, four, I guess, because one's vacant, yeah, but that will be up for election too. But districts 1, 3, and 5 are up for election this year. That's Stephen Berry District 5, Lumen May District 3, and Jeff Bergosh District 1. You got to wait till 2 years for District 2 and District 4. District 4 is up this year. You got to wait 2 years for District 2. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 18th at 8:15. This inaugural fun run starts at Community Maritime Park and runs along Bayfront, down to Veterans Park, and back to Community Maritime Park. Register now and receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and a race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Community Maritime Park, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage, playing classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies, all in their own style. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
With Major Lawrence, mercy is a passion. With me, it is merely good manners. You may judge which motive is the more reliable.
Don't let it get me.
Ask you, Jimmy, have you ever heard this song before? But doesn't it sound great? I love it. I had never even heard of this band, Sparks. They were one of the artists used on the Valley Girl soundtrack, the original, like the Nicolas Cage Valley Girl soundtrack. And I don't know. This is one of those songs where I heard it and I'm like, I feel like I know that voice. It's not quite David Byrne, you know, it's not quite, and it's not anything, but it's just, I love that song. It's just one of those. It sounds like the quintessential 80s movie song that somehow never got big on the radio.
Right.
But it should be. And now that it's been on our show, it is big on the radio. 553.
Fighting the good fight.
I'm fighting the good fight. That's right. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I've got headlines, but first, can I ask how you ended up with a copy of the Valley Girl soundtrack? I mean, this is one of those things that just really...
I would prefer not to answer that question under the grounds that my answer may tend to incriminate me.
All right, moving on.
No, I do this all the time. We watch a movie or TV, and I hear a song, even for 10 seconds, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I'm always thinking about bumper music for the show. Right. And I hear the song, and then TuneFind.com has a really good website that indexes all of the bumper music that they use in, or bed, or soundtrack, whatever you want to call it, that they use for TV and movies. So you can actually go look this stuff up these days. It's actually pretty easy. And we watched, you know, Valley Girl, and so I went to TuneFind and looked up, oh, that's a good song. I'll get that one. So now we have it.
Awesome.
It's not as funny as the other answer. I'm sorry. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says that he wants the entire U.S. budget available on blockchain if he's elected president. During a rally in Michigan over the weekend, Kennedy said that would allow any American to look up the budget at any time. The owner of the New England Patriots now pulling donations to Columbia University as the pro-Palestinian protests continue there. Robert Kraft issued a statement through his organization, the Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism. He says he's no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff. And apparently a tourist in Indonesia has died after falling into an active volcano while taking photos on its ledge, or on its edge. A Chinese woman was on a guided tour of the volcano park when she fell into the crater.
Okay.
About the worst way I can think to go.
I don't know. I think is it active?
Active volcano, yes.
I think that's over pretty quick.
You think so?
I think it's kind of, that's the end of that. I don't mean to dismiss somebody dying, but I think that of all the different ways you can die, that's a pretty quick one.
See, I'm just thinking of like the burning.
Yeah, but I'm saying at that temperature, and it hurts real bad for a little, but I, not to be morbid, but I think of all the ways to die, that's probably, it doesn't last a long time. I'll put it that way.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, burning is, ugh. Of course, which way do you think is a good way? That's a conversation you have in college, right? 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is just kind of an interesting note. You know, we have this kind of ongoing question about transgender persons in sports, in women's sports, and is it appropriate for people who were born male, who transition either, you know, hormonally or, you know, surgically, or just say they identify as, you know, what level of transition would you have to undergo in order to be eligible for women's sports? And, you know, the ongoing conversation we're having in this country, right? My position is that people who are born male should not be able to compete in women's sports, period. But, you know, everybody has different answers to this question. WNBA star Angel Reese, that's the eyelashes girl from LSU. Just because you may not recognize her and know her the name. Anyway, she's one of the superstars of the young sport. You know, she was the opponent with Caitlin Clark, and when they had that kind of taunting each other stuff back and forth. Anyway, she has basically come out yesterday and said that she doesn't believe, you know, protect women in sports. Don't let transgender persons compete is kind of the implied meaning there. Meanwhile, you have a transgender weightlifter. Sometimes it's like the stories, even though they're out there, I almost feel like, why bother reporting? Well, this is a good example. Transgender weightlifter Vicky Piper, born a man, looks like, well, how would you, Jimmy, I'll ask you to weigh in here, since it's a weightlifting story, weigh in here. The person in the middle, that look like a guy?
No comment.
That is the most athletic looking dude you'd ever see. He just looks like a big, strong, probably 6'2", very athletic, like maybe a soccer player or I don't know, just somebody who's very like tennis player, just somebody who's big and strong. Is a champion after taking first place in, it says her, I'll leave that to your judgment, first national weightlifting meet, prompting outrage from some concern about fairness in women's sports. Piper took first place in both age and weight groups among women at the Masters National Championship in Reno, Nevada this month, lifting 56 kilograms in the snatch and 71 kilograms in the clean and jerk, according to USA Weightlifting. Combined total weights outscored the next highest place competitor by 17 kilograms, meaning by about 20-25%. A absolute blowout of a competition. The following, the National Desk, which is reporting this, reached out to Piper, who shares the same workplace listed on Piper's Facebook page. An individual answered the phone identified as Vic before claiming to have no ties. Following that call, photos of Piper standing atop the podium in Reno have been removed from the social media accounts that this person operates. Instagram page also became private after that. So, I mean, this is one of those where you want, I think a person wants to be generous. And then you look at it and you think, stop. please, just, if you don't believe that women should have separate sports, we can have a conversation about that. But if women are going to have separate sports, then only women should have separate
Listen
sports.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.